Well, we are well into the new year, right? And many of us have set goals. We've made commitments. Maybe there's some health goals that you've set. Maybe lose a few pounds or get in shape and get in better shape, and you've been working at it. Maybe you've set some financial goals. Maybe I want to get control of my spending and my saving and work at earning and giving. Maybe you've set some goals as far as giving and giving faithfully. Maybe you've committed to serve in special ways, significant ways. Maybe someone even this morning said, you know what, I think I could serve in hospitality. And you want to make that commitment. We've set commitments. Maybe you've set commitments, made commitments concerning relationships. Maybe you say, you know what, I need to be a better husband or better wife. Better father, mother, better son or daughter. Just make some commitments, set some goals. And we've made these kinds of things along the way. We've been talking about making your life count for eternity. And we've reminded ourselves that God owns everything, we own nothing, right? And everything we possess, God has entrusted into our care. And we have the responsibility to increase that which he's entrusted to our care. Now we can have a choice that we can increase it by giving attention to it, being diligent in that area, or we could diminish it by neglect. But our desire has been to increase that, right? And then realize that God can call us into account at any time. So we've been encouraged and we've made these commitments and we've set some goals and yet maybe something has come your way and you set that goal to get in shape and you caught a cold or you got that cough and you can't even hardly exercise, right? Or you've set some financial goals and the water heater started leaking or the car broke down or maybe you know, you make goals in relationships and things just aren't going the way you had hoped it would go. A curve has been thrown your way. And the question this morning is, how do we get through the curveballs that get thrown our way? The stumbles that take place as we commit ourselves to making this life count for eternity. And we get all excited about that, and yet we run into those curveballs or bumps. Well, we introduced our series here by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. We're stewards. God has entrusted to us whatever it may be, even our trials, even our difficulties. God, did you ever think about that? God has entrusted that to you. Are you being a good steward of that difficulty, that challenge? He's entrusted us our ministry, the ministry of FBC. And we want to be good stewards of that. We're to be found faithful. So here's your take-home thought today. And it comes from a friend of mine here at the church, going through some challenges, sharing my heart a little bit. And he said, Dale, just be faithful. Right? Just be faithful. That's our take-home thought this morning. Just be faithful. We want to talk about that today. The question is, are you going to stick with your commitments? Don't allow the weariness, the discouragements, the curveballs to get you down. When the results are slow, just be faithful. Now, how do you keep going when the going gets tough? Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 6. We're looking at verses 7 through 9. Maybe a familiar passage to many of you. Maybe new to some of you. I want to encourage you with a couple principles regarding faithfulness here today. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. going to look at some principles of faithfulness here this morning. The first one I'd like to point out is faithfulness provides for productivity. Faithfulness provides for productivity. We're going to talk about this as we go through it, but in God's time and in His way. But faithfulness provides for productivity. Why? Well, verse 7, don't be deceived. The idea here is don't wander from, don't roam away from safety or truth. Don't be seduced by the falsehoods that are out there. God is not mocked. Now, the word mocked here means to make faces at. You know, to stick your tongue out or blow raspberries at. There are those who may try to do that to God, to mock God. Now, when we do that to one another, we get offended, right? My grandbabies, they, you know, don't mock me. Don't mock me. Mommy, would you tell her to stop? Mommy, will you tell her to stop? You know, it goes back and forth, and it's like, they get so frustrated at that. Get so frustrated, right? And yet, the point here is God is not mocked indicates that you may try to do that, but God is not negatively affected by any mockery. God's not mocked. And if you mock God, it's going to hurt you. He goes on to say, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Verse 7 here is talking about the unalterable law of the harvest. You reap what you sow. It's been in place since creation. Genesis 1 verse 11 says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. Once in a while, you'll drive, in our area anyway, you drive past a farm field and beans are growing out there, and every once in a while you'll see a couple of stalks of corn in the middle of the bean field. It's like, what's that all about? We call it volunteer corn, right? It's not that beans started growing and then they said, you know what, I want to be different. I'm going to turn into a stalk of corn. No. What happened there is that some corn seed got mixed in with the bean seed, right? And so corn seed produces corns and beans produce beans. That's what God's telling us here. It's the law of the harvest. Some corn got mixed in with the bean seed. You don't get grapes from thorns. In this passage, you don't get the fruit of the Spirit from the works of the flesh. It's the law of the harvest. So on the contrary, verse 9 says, let us not grow weary of doing good. Weariness has consequences. If you get weary, you tend to start to sow to the flesh. And that leads to corruption. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The corruption is ruin. It's decay. And it's interesting that the weariness is discussed on the heels of the law of the harvest. Now, if you think about it, many kids, and we do this in school, right? You did it in school. You have that little styrofoam cup, and you kind of tear the top of it off and have some dirt in there, and you put the bean seed in there, right? And you pat it down, and you put a little bit of water, not too much, right? Not too much, but just a little bit of water, and then you have to wait. Mommy, when is this going to grow? And they watch and they wait. And they planted it in the morning, and then they come back in the evening. It's like, it hasn't grown yet, right? It's like, and you get up the next morning, and it's like, oh, let's see if there's... It still hasn't grown. Oh, man, I thought it's not working, right? And then the next day, it's still not working. And then, oh, look, look, there's something happening. You know, a few days later, it starts to poke its stalk out of the dirt. If we get discouraged, we begin to start the complaining. We get to start moaning and groaning. But when we're patient, we can see the blessings. When you start complaining, you tend to focus on yourself. That's what sowing to the flesh means. That's the focus upon self. It's participating or allowing yourself to be exposed to self-pleasing, worldly activity, that which doesn't please God, and it leads to corruption. Turn back just a page there in Galatians 5, verse 17 through 21 there. It says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." They're fleshly. They're not of the Spirit. If you participate in those kinds of things, it is evidence that you are not walking in the Spirit or living according to the Spirit. It's the red flags. You have those kinds of things taking place, and be assured you're not walking in the Spirit. They can't mix the works of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And when you get weary, you tend to neglect your spiritual disciplines. You let your time with the Lord go by the wayside. You begin to drift from the fellowship with other believers at church. You begin to neglect your quiet time where you're spending time in the Word and prayer. And then you start thinking, well, it's up to somebody else to get me off of this. And the pastor just isn't ringing my bell. And then you just start to drift. And you start to get involved in the works of the flesh. There's one song, modern song, that says, "It's a slow fade." It's a slow fade. And sometimes it can happen because of something that someone said or did toward you. It could be from an incident that takes place in your life. And yet, even those, what God wants you to do is look to Him. We sang this just a little bit earlier. Did you sing it from your heart? "All my life you have been faithful." I'll tell you what, I can hardly sing those words without getting choked up. Because I look back at how God has worked in my life, and I just, "God, all my life you have been faithful. In the midst of even any straying that I've done, God has graciously brought me unto Himself." Don't neglect the spiritual disciplines. Because when you do that, you start to fade. You start to drift away. The harvest is not the result of how much you know, but rather how much you sow. Are you sowing to the flesh? Or are you sowing to the Spirit? Another reason why you should be faithful is that faithfulness produces good results. Kind of assumed in the text here. Look at verse 9. "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." You reap a good harvest as a result of faithfulness. Just be faithful. Here's a couple results. One is an eternal perspective. You start looking at life in light of eternity. Look at, again, verse 8 and 9. "The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." It is only by the Spirit of God that your life can be transformed to be made alive to new life, which all takes place as a result of understanding what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. As I prayed earlier, as the praise team led us in worship, it's not about us, right? Left to ourselves, we deserve eternal death. That's what we deserve. Eternal separation from God. And yet, God in his love and his grace and his mercy, he provided salvation through the death of his son, the Lord Jesus. God who became man, died in your place and mine, and rose again in victory over sin and death. That if you would believe him, believe that he did that for you, receiving that gift of salvation through Jesus, you will have eternal life. Salvation, it's the gospel. And then as believers and as a church, what we do is we live in light of the gospel. And that's what he's talking about here. Yes, there are going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties. There are going to be things that get us down. But he says, don't get weary in doing good, doing the right things, doing the things that bring glory to God. Because we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Faithfulness produces good results. Think of some other faithful ones who had an eternal perspective. I think of Moses. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, that's the, we call it the hall of faith or the chapter of faith, right? And it's like you're walking down this hall and hey, there's, you know, there's a picture of Moses. And let's read about Moses. What did he do? By faith, he left Egypt, verse 27. Not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's keep walking down the hallway. And look over here, verse 32. And what more can I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Oh, he must be talking about Daniel there, right? Quench the power of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There they are. Escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. How did they endure? They went through so much. Well, I tell you, based on our text today, they had an eternal perspective. It wasn't about all that they were going through in the here and now. It wasn't about the curveballs that were thrown their way and the challenges and the difficulties that they faced. But how did they do it? Well, they did it through the admonition of we have in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of these individuals of Hebrews 11, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How did they endure? How can you endure? Look to Jesus, right? I in my notes, I had catch a glimpse of Jesus. No, not just a glimpse. Look full in his wonderful face, right? And realize all that you have in the Lord Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection, and come to him and his great salvation, and then walk in the Spirit. And when you do that, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Those curveballs won't get you down. They won't distract you. You keep your focus on Jesus, the author, the founder, and perfecter of your faith. And when you do that, and I just want to, if you're here this morning and you don't know of that victory, and you're not certain of your salvation, we want to help you with that. That's what we're all about, is the gospel. And we invite you to come to Jesus today. We want to help you with that. And as I say at the end of the service, I'll be down front here while we're singing the last song. I'll be in the back. And I know it's going to be kind of a busy time with the members meeting, but I'll tell you what, we'll put that on hold if you want to come to Jesus. All right? We want to help you with that. And then as believers, man, don't live defeated. Don't live a life of defeat. We want to encourage you. And when you do that, there's blessing in God's time. Be assured of that. There may be difficulties. You may face challenges, but there is blessing in God's time. The phrase here is due season. What does that mean? When the opportunity is right, at just the right time that God deems it best for you, for him to bless you in his time, in his way. You can trust him. You can believe that. In order to just be faithful, we trust in reaping the harvest of God's blessing. All those folks, many of those folks in Hebrews chapter 11, they didn't receive that blessing in this life. They were sawn in two, torn asunder. But they remained faithful through the end because of the blessing. They knew what there was to be in eternity. It comes back to the eternal perspective. Another principle I'd like to point out here is the pathway to faithfulness. I think this week, I can get up here and I can say, be faithful, just be faithful. And you know, if you do that, you'll reap a harvest. How do you do that? That's a question, right? It's a legitimate, like, okay, pastor, help me out here. Well, a couple of considerations based upon this text. Let's read it once again. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, decay, destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. One stepping stone on the pathway to faithfulness is sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. How do you do that? What's that all about? What do we mean by that? Well, let me simply say, practice the revealed will of God. How are you going to sow to the Spirit spiritual things, to the Spirit of your life, the renewed, the Spirit that is made alive in you? How do you do that? How do you sow to the Holy Spirit? Well, practice the revealed will of God. That's one reason why it's so important to be in the Word. And I think a great place to start is turn back a page to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 down through 25. But the fruit of the Spirit, remember 17 to 21, all of those things that are of the flesh. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit over against that which is of the flesh is the fruit of the Spirit. Excuse me. Which is love, joy, patience, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law that says, thou shalt not be patient. Have you ever heard that? Thou shalt not love one another. Can't do it. Not allowed to do that here. It's against the law. There's no law against these things, right? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You have to believe that is to be true. You're crucified to all of the stuff of verses 17 to 21, but made alive to the things of the Spirit. Counted as true, you're dead to those things, but alive to the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? Well, you ask God's help. You cry out to God, God, help me with this. God, I'm driving to Dayton and I tend to get very impatient with traffic. So, and there every day there seems to be a wreck or traffic tie-up south of Needmore Road. God, I'm going to visit Pastor Doug at Miami Valley Hospital. I pray that you will help me with any delay that there may be. You ask God's help, right? Whether it's in anticipation of the difficulty or in the middle of the difficulty. Or if it's after the difficulty and you're like, ugh, you blew it. You say, God, forgive me. I know it was wrong. I ask you to forgive me and help me to learn from this. Help me to learn the patience that I need in the days ahead. See, it's a constant dependence upon God. That's sowing to the Spirit and practicing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. God, you know that when I get into this situation, I lack self-control. I tend to get angry. I tend to focus on myself. God, help me. Excellent qualities. Here's another passage that may help you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. This is just, if you want to know how to grow as a Christian, this passage here, it says, okay, here's how you do this. Here's some direction that you can put into practice. Make every effort, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with steadfastness. Steadfastness with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, and if you are a believer, have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, these are qualities that are in you. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's not, okay, I only have this much of the Spirit and I want this much or this much. It's talking about being controlled by the Spirit. To living according to the things of the Spirit and asking God's help to do that. And to the extent that you are applying the Word of God to your own life, to that extent, you're filled with the Spirit. God, help me to do this, to live according to your direction, your revealed will. See, the point here is obedience is the key. Obedience. God, help me to be obedient by the power of your Spirit, strengthening me, enabling me to do this. Help me to put into practice faithfully your word and not get weary in doing so and not give up. Disobedience is weariness. Proverbs 13:15 in the King James Version says, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the sinner, the one who does not sow to the Spirit but sows to the flesh, the one who sows to the flesh, it's hard. Why? Because you're reaping destruction. It's the law of the harvest. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Why? It's like oil and water. They don't mix. You focus upon living according to the qualities described here of the spiritual qualities. Focus upon those, and you will not gratify the lusts of the flesh. When you sow to the Spirit, the resulting fruit of the Spirit lasts forever. And so producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, produces the pathway to faithfulness, guards from weariness, and another element, a stepping stone on the pathway to faithfulness, is to be highly motivated by the harvest. Be highly motivated by the harvest. A couple qualities here. Mentioned this several times here. And the first one is endurance. Endurance. You know, there tends to be long periods of time between planting and harvest. We tend to think of from spring until fall. And it takes work. I remember when I was a kid, and my dad had a garden twice the size of this room. Not really, but it seemed that way as a kid, right? And can you believe Dad's been gone a year now? It just, he's with the Lord, and I'm just comforted by that. But anyway, still think of Dad, and thinking of the law of the harvest. Our Dad, he would have us every morning through the summer. All right, boys, time to get up. Got to go out and weed the garden. Man, you know, oh, man, those rows just seemed like they went on forever. Got your hoe out. And you know, the one who got up and got going got the cultivator. You know, you can... That was sweet. But, you know, you had to pull the weeds. You had to work. Oh... Man, and it took forever. I want to go play baseball. I want to go swimming, whatever it was, you know. We had to get the work done. We work. We trust God for the harvest. And every year we had a harvest. Some years were better than others. We had beans and we had tomatoes. We had corn. I don't know what you may be facing. I don't know what you may be going through. We're talking about living this life in light of eternity, making this life count. We get thrown those curveballs, and it may be the death of a loved one. Like I said, Dad's been gone a year. That was tough. Maybe a relationship issue. That's tough. Maybe the finances. Whatever that curveball may be. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you, I do. I pray for you. But just be encouraged by our time here together today. Because what God wants us to do is be faithful, to endure. And there, oftentimes there's a long period of time between when we plant and when there's the harvest. And he encourages us here with endurance. You've prayed. And you said, oh God, help me with this. And you do what you know and believe God would have you to do. And nothing has happened yet. So you pray again. You pray some more. God, please work. Work through this situation. Provide comfort, provide peace, and yet it's still going on. And you're still struggling. And you pray some more, God, help me. God, work through this. God, work in this situation, whatever your situation may be. God, I've planted. I've cultivated. I've tried to pull the weeds. I'm not seeing a harvest yet. Be patient. Be faithful. Endure. and cry out to God for that endurance. Be highly motivated by the harvest, by endurance, but also through personal investment. Now, for the farmer, there's risk, okay? Let's be honest about it. For the farmer, there's risk. I need the field to be, the soil to be suitable for planting. It can't be too wet. It can't be too dry. So they have to wait for just the right time to get the seed in the ground and then bring the rains in a time. Not too much sun, because it'll dry it out and dry it up. And make sure the soil has enough nitrogen and ammonia and all that goes into that. And I don't know much about that. But everything just seems to have to be just about right. And so there's some risk, because a lot of times it just isn't right. No guarantees. But for the believer, I want to encourage you, for the believer, there's no risk. For the believer, there is no risk. God has entrusted whatever he has entrusted into you, into your care, all that you have. You are responsible to increase that. The measure of that increase may be up to God, as well as your personal investment. But you pour your heart into whatever God has entrusted to you. And that the harvest is sure based upon the sure promises of God. Be encouraged by that. The harvest is sure in his time, in his way. Again, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. My prayer is that we just be faithful. Just be faithful with whatever it is that God has entrusted to your care. Your health, your wealth, your finances, the earning, the saving, the spending, the giving, your trials, this ministry, your relationships with others, and your relationship with him. My prayer is that you just be faithful and trust God for the increase, for the results, his blessing in due time, in his time. Bear with me, I came across this account. Clarence Jordan was a man of unusual abilities and commitment. He had two PhDs, one in agriculture and one in the Bible languages, Hebrew and Greek, PhDs. He could have done anything he wanted to do in this life, but he chose to serve the poor. Back in the 1940, he founded a farm in Americus, Georgia, called Koinonia Farm. You can Google it, and you'll find Koinonia Farm. And he chose to serve the poor whites and poor blacks. Well, you could just think, in the Deep South, in the 1940s, the flack that he received from that desire. And for 14 years, the community around him tried to get rid of him and tried to get rid of that farm. They would boycott him. If any from his farm would go into town, any that worked on the farm would go into town, they would slash the tires of the vehicles. They just tried to run them out. And after 14 years, they said, you know what, we've had enough of Clarence. We've had enough of this Koinonia Farm. And the KKK showed up. And they were going to take care of it once and for all. Sadly, there were those in the KKK who were involved in the church back in that day. And Clarence recognized their voices. But they burned down every building except Clarence's house. And they riddled his house with bullets. Took care of that problem. So the next day, a reporter whose voice Clarence had heard during the raid, a reporter showed up. Said, "I heard the awful news, Clarence. I came out to do a story on the tragedy of your farm closing." And Clarence was out in the field hoeing, planting, hoeing, and planting. And he kept trying to dig at Clarence and talk about his farm for 14 years now. "You've tried to make a go of this, and now it's all gone. With your degrees, what kind of a success do you think you've been?" Clarence stopped for a moment. He looked at the reporter and said quietly and firmly, "I've been about as successful as the cross." "Sir, I don't think you understand us. What we are about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Good day." And Clarence went back to hoeing and planting. And you can Google Koinonia Farm, and it's still going and growing today. 84 years later. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. There may be those who want to get you down, not the least of which is the enemy. He wants to destroy you. But let's not give up. Let's not get weary in well-doing. Let's just be faithful. And be assured that you will reap a harvest if you don't give up, to the glory of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. You've given us some incredibly encouraging words here today. And I pray that we would be faithful. Faithful to put your word into practice to your glory. Father, again, it's not about us. We can't do it in our own strength. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. And I pray that, Father, you know what's going on in each life here today. You know the struggles, you know the difficulties, you know the challenges. You know the hurts. You know the struggles, the sins. And yet, Father, you have, by your grace, have provided the way and the means through the Spirit of God to bring our sin-sick souls to life through the gospel. And as we respond to the gospel, you give us the strength to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Help us to be faithful. Encourage our hearts. Strengthen us, I pray, Father. And may we do all to your honor and glory. And with heads bowed, again, if we can be a help, encouragement, if you just need someone to pray with you today, don't hesitate. We want to get with you and want to be an encouragement to you, come alongside you. And so, Father, strengthen us now by your grace and your glory in Jesus' name.